Well, friends, as we've heard already this morning, today begins the season of Advent, one of my very, very favorite times of the year. Somehow, when the calendar moves over into Advent, there is an awareness that wakes up, a countdown that begins, an attention to lights and to time and to wonder that, at least for me, puts into motion a very distinctive kind of spiritual waiting that I want to try on again and again every new year and go a little bit deeper with every new Advent season. Maybe some of you by now have had time to read my newsletter column already this month, but if you haven't, there was a thought that occurred to me this year in the lead up to this season that's been nagging at me for a while. Have you ever noticed things about yourself that you haven't noticed before? Well, I noticed something about myself as a pastor in just this last year, and that is that every year when it comes to my worship planning, I choose the same exact hymn for the first hymn of Advent every single time. And I'd love to tell you that that was planned or that that was traditional or that it was on purpose, but in fact, that is not the case. Every year I would dive into my planning with a fresh slate, fresh prayers, fresh imagination, and fresh intention to come at things from a new and different angle this year. And every single year, without fail, after thinking and planning all that through, reading through the hymns again, thinking about the scriptures, looking around at what's going on in the world, looking at what's going on here in our lives, and thinking anew again about the meaning of this season, every year, I made the very same studied, intentional choice that this very same hymn should come first. If you've had time to read my column, you know that hymn is the one we just sang here a few minutes ago, People Look East, a hymn written back in 1928 by a British woman named Eleanor Fargeon, who, in addition to being a hymn writer, was also a prolific author of children's books, as well as of poetry. In fact, she was quite a prolific and distinguished writer, having written some 80 or so children's books, and winning a number of awards like the Hans Christian Andersen Award and the Carnegie Medal. And in addition to writing People Look East, this same writer wrote that very famous hymn, Morning Has Broken, which made it to number 6 on the Billboard charts way back when by the rendition done by Cat Stevens in the early 1970s that you all may know. For me, apparently, her hymn, People Look East, takes its rightful place as the first song of the year every single year. And it occurred to me this year that maybe there's something worth exploring in that somewhere. Maybe it's worth unpacking why that is and what it is about that hymn in particular that speaks to me so powerfully about what this season of Advent is all about. And so through this season of Advent this year, I'm going to take a few weeks to do just that very thing. I want to open up what there is to be found in the lyrics of this hymn about the spirit that we are all called to enter into in this season of Advent. I want to do that in conversation with the scriptures that come up in this time of year. And most especially, I want to open up some imaginative space here in our worship to sit with you around a few different images and metaphors about expectation, about welcome, about receiving the Christ who is on the way. People Look East is, in fact, a hymn that is all about preparing and receiving, and each one of its 4 stanzas says more or less the same thing on the subject, generally speaking. But as similar as each one of them is, what's different about each of them is that each one uses a different image, a different metaphor for this Christ that we are waiting for. And with that comes a slightly different perspective, an angle of vision on what it might mean to prepare, Take today's first stanza, for example, that we just heard sung a few minutes ago. It tells us to lift up our heads and look eastward because a guest is on the way. And as we've got to all be ready to receive this guest, it says. We've got to clean the house, it says. We've got to set the table because, of course, there's going to be a big meal with a lot of food. And we're going to need our most festive table settings and our napkins and our candles maybe and silverware and dishes because we want our guests to be overwhelmed with welcome and with thoughtfulness. We want them to feel like they have been prepared for, like they are the guest of honor when they come into our homes. And we're going to trim the hearth, it says, to make that fireplace ready so that we can all gather around and share life around a fire once that meal is over. We're going to prepare to receive him as we would a guest. And it's not insignificant either that it's love. Love that's our guest. And he's on the way. What would it be to enter into Advent, do you think, if the one we were expecting and preparing for was going to hop on a plane at some point and physically come all this way to visit us? I think, like the hymn says, we'd be thinking about the shape of our homes, wouldn't we? We'd be thinking about hospitality and what our guests might see and feel when they arrive into our space. But consider this. In this hymn, the guest is coming from somewhere in the east. Is that the Near East? Is that the Far East? Is that the Middle East? And what if it were the Middle East? They'd be coming our way from out of a situation of tension and of war. Just the other day, in fact, war and violence resumed again in the Gaza Strip. And will there be an end to this incredibly difficult situation there? On the one side, you've got terrorists taking shelter among civilian residences and barricading themselves under hospitals and such to use innocent civilians as a shield, almost daring Israel to retaliate against their strikes. Imagine yourself as part of a people group that has been threatened and endangered for centuries, and is hated by many of the surrounding nations and is determined to establish a home where you can be safe and live according to your own cultural norms without interference. But on the other hand, you have a people in the Palestinians who are themselves desperate for a homeland to return to that had been theirs for well over a millennium, desperate for a sustainable way of life where they can thrive and where they can trade and all the rest on their own terms, which all of us would want. Desperate to get out of the difficult conditions of living in that Gaza Strip or in the West Bank, where they're constantly under threat of invasion. Imagine our guest was coming to us out of this sort of East, or from the Ukraine, perhaps. We wouldn't just be welcoming a guest in that case. We'd be welcoming a refugee, an asylum seeker, wouldn't we? Someone looking for a much-needed rest. Someone looking for safety. Someone looking for the familiarity and comfort of the kind of home that they hadn't seen for a while. Maybe in many, many years. What then for our preparations for this guest? The scripture readings from Isaiah this morning strikes the tone of practically begging God, his hopeful guest, to tear open the heavens and come down, fix this broken world. Show your indignity at the mess and at the injustice. Make the mountains quake and smoke so that the whole world would stop in its tracks and get the point and examine itself. What if our guest was coming from a situation that provoked that sort of outrage and desperation. How might we prepare for them? How might we afford them rest and mend their wounds, especially their wounded hearts? You know, one of the great things about this hymn, People Look East, as an Advent preparation hymn, is that there's also an implicit call tucked somewhere into this imaginative experiment. A call this week to enter into our Advent preparations by taking up some radical forms of hospitality and to engage with that hospitality as a spiritual practice. In fact, through the season this year, I've got a spiritual practice to ask of you that goes along with each one of the stanzas of our hymn. And for this first one, I'm asking you to do something to prepare your homes. Something you can do prayerfully as a spiritual practice, but I also want to ask you in doing that to look east. To look east in the sense that I've been talking about today. To hear. To allow yourselves to hear the stories of horror, of hurt and of war-torn places with new eyes and new compassion, and to reach out into those situations through our church or through some other relief agency, UMCOR perhaps, to engage in some hospitality from afar, to help prepare a home and some relief for someone who desperately needs it. This can be our spiritual practice of preparing for our guest. Because remember, our Lord said that what you do for the least of these, you do for me. We can literally all do that this week. Whether it's reaching out and supporting those in need of relief and respite on the other side of the world or here in our very own homeland. There was a tragic hate crime just this past week in Vermont where 3 people were killed. There are still people recovering and finding their new normal after the events in Lewiston, Maine. We can receive them too as we would receive our guest as part of our making ready for Advent. People of God, we can do this. We can make this our spiritual practice. Advent calls us to wake up, to lift our heads, to look east and start making preparations to receive love, the Lord of life, as our honored guest. And so let us do that very thing in the ways that we prepare our hearts, in the ways that we prepare our homes, in the ways that we tend to the wounds and the breaks in our world. In the name of our Lord, and all of God's people said, Amen.